We sing number 4, Christ is the Savior of sinners, Christ is the Savior for me. Number 4, Christ is the Savior of sinners, Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness, now by His grace I am free. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, beloved friends, in the 4th chapter, we find there was a great calm when Jesus said, Peace be still, there was a great calm. But tonight we have in this 5th chapter a great Savior. Oh, my friends, I ask you at the start of this gospel meeting, what about your soul? Every one of us in this room tonight is on the way to eternity. Every one of us in this room tonight is on the way to heaven or hell right now. At 7:14 p.m. on December the 25th, 1966, you, my friend, and I are on the way to eternity, either to be in hell with the devil and the damned, or in the glory with Christ and all the redeemed. And there's no middle ground, my friends. There's no neutral stand. Either you're saved or lost right now. Right in this room tonight, you're either saved or lost. Either you're in your sins or you're in Christ. Either you're right with God or you're wrong with God. And so in this chapter we have before us, in this portion we have before us, we find a great Savior. If you were to read the whole chapter, you'd see where the Lord Jesus had power over the demons. He had power over disease, and he had power over death. He was an all-sufficient Savior, a Savior of sinners. His name is Jesus. Now we know tonight in this world, they're celebrating the birth of Christ. But oh, my friends, how few there are who know anything about the death of Christ and what that death means for the glory of God and for the blessing of men. And so I believe in this picture we have of this man, we have a man who represents you, my friends, represents me before I knew the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He represents this man, I believe, mankind, and he's in complete ruin. We would notice, first of all, that Jesus came to this place. Oh, my friends, the Lord Jesus had an appointment with this man, Legion. This didn't happen by chance. Nothing happens by chance with God. Jesus came to where the Legion was. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus came there because he wanted to meet this man. Just as he came to Sychar's well, so Jesus came here to this very place because he had an appointment with this man. Oh, the man didn't know it. But Jesus knew it, and my friends, you come here tonight, maybe some boy or girl, some young man, some young lady with Christian father and a Christian mother, and Jesus is here tonight to meet you. Jesus is here tonight to stand and meet you. You don't know it, maybe. You just come to another gospel meeting. It's your custom on the Lord's Day night to go to the gospel, and so you come according to your custom to be religious. To sort of be religious on the Lord's Day night. But Jesus, my friends, is here tonight to meet you in your great need. Now, I believe in this little incident here, we have at least seven things said about this man. I'd like to refer them to you tonight. First of all, it tells us this man had an unclean spirit at the end of verse 2. An unclean spirit. In verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. And in the same verse, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. And then in verse 4, at the end of the verse, neither could any man tame him. In verse 5, at the end of the verse, he was cutting himself with stones. In verse 6, he ran and worshipped him. And in verse 7, he spoke to the Lord Jesus and said, "What have I to do with thee?" I believe if you count them up, you'll find seven things said about this man, at least seven. And we know in Scripture that seven is perfection. And I believe in this case, it shows a perfect ruin, my friends, the absolute ruin. And tonight I would like to say at the start of this gospel meeting that we believe, according to the Word of God, that man is ruined from head to foot. Man is a ruined sinner, absolutely lost in his sins, absolutely hopelessly lost. And God says he's dead in trespasses and sins. You know, somebody once said at the end of a gospel meeting that if you say a man is dead, he'll say, "Well, I have nothing more to say, I'm dead." But my friends, you may be dead, spiritually dead, but you're alive physically, and you're on your way to meet God. And tonight we'd like to bring you into the presence of Almighty God. You must stand there in the presence of God. Don't you fear God, my friends? Aren't you afraid that tonight your heart may stop beating and you'll stand in the presence of God? And if you stand there in your sins, you'll perish. For the Lord Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, there ye cannot come. Oh, friends, how solemn this is. I want to ask you a question that I ask every time we have the blessed privilege of preaching the gospel. I want to ask you this question in the fear of God, in the presence of God, in view of the fact that you have a never-dying soul. If you were dead tonight, my friend, if you were lying now in your casket in the undertaking parlor, I ask you, where would you be? Can you say immediately, I'd be with Christ? Can you say, I'm saved for glory? Or must you say, I do not know, sir. I only hope that I'd be in heaven somehow. I'd get there by the mercy of God. My friends, tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if you've never been born again, if you've never been to Christ about your sins, you're lost tonight. You may be religious, but you're lost. Lost. I was speaking to a man a while ago, and I found out after that what he told me was the truth. He said, sir, he said, I've lived a good life, upright, moral, and clean living. I've done the very best I can. What more can God expect from me? And we said to him, sir, did you ever tell a lie in your life? And he said, well, I suppose that I'd have to confess that I've told a few lies. And I said, mister, if you tell one lie, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. If you only tell one lie in your life, where the Bible says that even a lie, which is one lie, will never enter into the presence of God. And so he said to this man, you're lost, my man. If you only told one lie in your life, yet you confess to me that you've told more than one, you're lost. This is what he said. And his answer, my friends, is the answer of tens of thousands of people in the United States and Canada and throughout the world tonight. He said, what about my good works? What about my good life? Doesn't that count? And we said, sir, God says that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I understand, I said to this man, I understand that the filthy rags in that verse are the rags that were taken off the leper's sores. What were they fit for? Would you give those leper's sores to God? Those filthy rags that had on them the awful filth of the leper's sores, God says that all your good works, all your righteous deeds are just like those filthy rags that come off the leper's sores. Dare you give those leper's rags to God? And this poor man had never heard this in his life. He said, I'm a member of a certain church. And I said, I was in the same business, exactly the same, but Christless, on the way to hell. On the way to hell, my friends. Oh, tonight, are you on the way to hell? What a solemn thing. I know the modernist preacher's taken hell out of the Bible. I know the modernist preacher scoffs and mocks at hell. But I tell you solemnly that God has not changed His precious word to meet the silly ideas of the 20th century. God has not changed His truth to fit in the program of this ungodly age in which we live tonight. God's word stands supreme. God says what He means, and God means what He says. Oh, how solemn, my friends. This man was totally lost, complete wreck. He was lost, and Jesus crossed his pathway. How wonderful. Jesus came across the pathway of this man. Oh, my friends, how often has Jesus come across your pathway? How often has Jesus stood with those blessed hands that bear the nail prints He received on the cross and stood waiting to give you salvation, and you've rejected the truth. You rejected the Christ. You rejected God's grace and God's love and God's mercy. Tonight, on the last Lord's Day of 1966, the same God of all grace stands ready with a pardon in His hand to give that to you if you'll only acknowledge you're a sinner. You know, my friends, I believe the first step to heaven is to find out you're lost. The first step to the heaven is to find out you're a ruined, hell-deserving, wretched sinner. That's the first step, I believe, into the presence of God for blessing. Oh, my friends, have you found yourself yet in the presence of God? Did you ever get down on your knees and own before God you were lost, you were guilty, you were a sinner? A sinner in the presence of a holy God. Oh, my friends, have you ever done that yet? Did you ever find out you were lost? Oh, I remember when I was first a young Christian, and often with my Bible on my knee, I look back over the past days, a servant of the devil, on the way to hell, and I thought if God had taken away my life a year ago, that was in 1930, I'd be in hell right now. In hell. Oh, beloved friends, I crumbled as I thought of my poor lost soul in the regions of eternal doom under the judgment of God for eternity. Young man, are you here tonight outside of Christ? Young lady, are you here tonight in your sins on the way to hell and judgment? Oh, I have good news for you. We have Jesus, the Savior here. Jesus passed this man, came into this man's pathway. Jesus met him. You notice what it says now. It says what this man was doing. He dwelt among the tombs. Isn't that what you're doing tonight? Isn't that what every unsaved man's doing? He's dwelling among the tombs, among the dead. There he dwells among the dead. All his friends, his neighbors are dead. And there he is, entertaining the dead, living among the dead, dead in trespasses, dead in sins, dead before God. No life towards God, no desire for God, dwelling among the tombs. I want you to notice also in the end of verse 3, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Oh, people have tried to reform. They've tried to turn over a new leaf. They've tried to chain down men. But oh, they break the chains. They can't be tied. There they are, my friends, determined to go on their course to damnation and judgment. They cannot be tamed. And it tells us in this next verse, neither, verse 4, the end of the verse, neither could any man tame him. There wasn't a man there in that country could tame this man. And I tell you tonight, my friends, there's not a man in this world can tame you. There's not a man in this world can save you. Not a preacher, not a minister, not a clergyman. There's nobody in this world can save your soul but one. And that's the man at God's right hand in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it tells us in the fifth verse, at the end of the fifth verse, he was cutting himself with stones. What was he doing? He was harming himself. Oh, dear sinner, you're harming yourself. You're harming yourself. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to make your life happy. God wants to bring sunshine and joy into your soul. And here you are rejecting the gospel, and you're hurting yourself. He was cutting himself with stones. Aren't you doing the same thing? You're harming yourself, my dear friend. God loves you. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I think of the Lord Jesus saying to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This man was completely wrecked and ruined. But when he saw Jesus, he ran to worship him. Well, we know that men try to be religious. We know the woman in the fourth of John pleaded the same thing. But oh, this man has many, many followers tonight in this great country. Men who profess to worship Christ when in their very hearts they reject him. Well, every time we preach on this fifth chapter of the Gospel by Mark, our minds go down to the province of New Brunswick, to a little town, a railway town called McAdam. And there we think of a man named David McKay, who is known to some of us in this audience tonight. We've had the pleasure of meeting this man. We knew him when he was a drunkard. We knew him when his face was marked with liquor, when his eyes were bleary and bloodshot, when his whole life was spent in the service of the devil. But oh, beloved friends, Dave McKay met Jesus. Jesus met Dave McKay. And oh, the sunshine and the joy in that man's face. The joy and the happiness that only Christ could give. This poor man, now a rejoicing Christian on the way to glory. Oh, I've sat talking to that man. I've said to him, Dave, you're just like me. Not one bit worse and not one bit better. Just a poor old sinner saved by the grace of God. Oh, I think of him. I think of him known in McAdam by his different friends and business acquaintances as Dave the drunkard. And now Dave the hymn singer. Dave the psalm singer. And on his very windows of his home, redeemed by the blood of Christ. On the front door, a little text was hanging, Jesus, the altogether lovely one. Oh, I say to you, my friends, a great Savior met Dave McKay and saved his precious soul. And now that man's testimony in McAdam, his precious, and the very men that would tame him, the very men that would say, let's get this man McKay, who lived a life of sin and shame, let's get this man and reform him. Let's get him into AA and turn him over a new leaf. Now, my friends, under the power of the gospel of Christ, Dave McKay, a man of God, is despised by the men who would try to tame him. I tell you, my friends, this world, the United States of America included, does not want Jesus Christ in any terms whatsoever. The world does not want Christ, not the Christ of the Bible. The world has never said, we're sorry that we elected Barabbas. The world has never said, we made a mistake when we asked for Barabbas' release. We made a mistake. It still stands in the annals of God Himself that this world said, away with Jesus and crucify Him and release unto us Barabbas. God says, now Barabbas was a robber. Is it any wonder that we can't get rid of wars? Is it any wonder that men are killing each other? Is it any wonder that crime is increasing in this country by leaps and bounds? When this world chose a robber and nailed the Christ of God to the cross of Calvary. Well, this man met Jesus. Isn't it lovely? Notice what it says. The precious Savior said in the 8th verse, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Why, even the demons were subject to this blessed man. He was God in flesh. Just imagine, God has come down out of heaven. God, the God of eternity, the maker of heaven and earth, has come down into this world as a man and walked this world as a man. Blessed Savior, glorious Christ of God, He's been in this world. Come out of Him, thou unclean spirit. Then in the 9th verse, what is thy name? Here we find the sinner and the Savior are together. And the blessed Lord Jesus says, and what is thy name? Didn't he know his name? Oh, my friends, he would have this man confess it all. His name was Legion. He was completely under the power of the devil. The other day, a brother and I visited a home, and we saw a broken-hearted mother and a broken-hearted father. They said, this mother told us weeping, my daughter, just the other day, because of some dispute with her boyfriend, she took 30 of my sleeping pills, and her brain is completely wrecked, and she's in the asylum. And oh, she wept. She said, man, I have a Bible. I've read the Bible, and I've read about Jesus calling out of men and women unclean spirits. Is there any hope for my daughter? And the father said, I have to go out to the barn. I'll be back shortly. And after speaking to this lady about the precious Savior, we knelt down to pray. And when we finished praying, the father had come into the room and he was on his knees. Oh, beloved, their daughter was taken captive by the devil. Her brain was gone and wrecked, and the doctor said there was no hope. She'll be that way for the rest of her life, no doubt. Oh, how sad and how solemn this is. And this story I just told you is the story of multitudes of homes tonight in the United States and Canada. Broken-hearted mothers and fathers as their children come under the very spell of the devil. And sad to say, my friends, men who claim to be the servants of God, stand up and tell us that there's no devil. They tell us that we don't need a Savior. They tell us the blood is of no avail at all, that the death of Christ is of no avail. These modernists, my friends, these modernists, these servants of the devil. I spoke to one of them and said, "Do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ?" He said, "I'll have to think it over. I'll have to think it over." And the next day, I asked a Roman Catholic, a very good friend of mine who I believe is trusting the Savior, I said, "Do you believe in the virgin birth of Christ?" He said, "With all my heart, with all my heart." And I said, mentioning this man's name, I said, "He doesn't believe it." He said, I can't believe that." He said, "He's one of the biggest preachers in Montreal." I said, "He's one of the biggest infidels in Montreal. One of the biggest infidels. That poor man's gone into eternity now. Gone into eternity. Think of it. Gone into eternity. I say, young man, young lady, our brother Smith this afternoon, I amen what he said. Be not deceived by these professors or these preachers, these modernistic preachers who are on the way to hell themselves and who would drag you down. There's no salvation outside of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation outside of the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. There's absolutely no salvation if the Lord Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. Blessed be his precious, holy, adorable name. The Son of God was born of a virgin. Or if he wasn't, and I say this reverently, he could not be my Savior. Thank God he was born of a virgin. Thank God the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. Oh, my friend, tonight, Jesus is a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And praise God, Jesus is my Savior. Is he your Savior tonight? Well, he died for you. He died for you. Isn't it wonderful? He gave his life. Think of that. The Son of God gave his life on the cross of Calvary. As our dear brother said last night, that question that comes down through the ages, that solemn question that Jesus asked on the cross in the hours of darkness, when he bore my wretched sins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's no answer. Heaven was still, it was quiet. The heavens were closed, as it were, against that blessed man. But, oh, beloved, how often as Christians we've answered the question on our knees. Lord Jesus, thou wast forsaken for me, a hell-deserving worm of the dust, a wretch, a poor hell-deserving wretch. Thou wast forsaken for me. Oh, what a Savior Jesus is. Oh, what love, what grace is his. A Savior. Oh, my friends, Christ is able to save tonight. The vilest sinner, the most guilty sinner, the most self-righteous sinner, all are welcome to Jesus. He's ready to save you tonight. Well, I want you to notice in the 12th verse, the demons besought the Lord Jesus, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And the Lord answered their prayer. Just imagine, the Lord said, he gave them leave. And you know, the herd of swine ran into the lake. This is a solemn thing. 2,000 pigs ran into the lake. Well, notice the 15th verse. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine it? He was sitting. He was sitting down in the presence of Jesus. What does that suggest? Suggests rest. Rest. He was sitting down in the presence of Christ. It speaks of rest. Oh, my friend, have you got rest? Is there some lady tonight in this hall that has no rest and no peace? When you get into your bed at night, you say, if my heart stops beating in the middle of the night, where will I spend eternity? I have no rest. I have no peace. Oh, Jesus says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I won't sell it. I will give you. He's a giving God. I will give you rest. The next thing it says, he was clothed. Oh, he was clothed. Just think of it. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ in this room tonight is clothed in the best robe of heaven. Fit for heaven right now at this very moment. Fit. We'll never be more fit than we are right now. Fit for heaven. Clothed by the grace of God. Clothed in heaven's best robe. The very blessed Lord Jesus himself. Clothed and third in his right mind. Oh, are you in your right mind tonight? Now I know that I'm not trying to insult you, dear friends. When it comes to history or arithmetic or geography or some other subject, you may be very, very clever. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the truth of God, are you in your right mind? How many people say when you ask them, what does John 3:16 mean? Oh, they say it means to go to church and pay your bills and live a good life and do the best you can, be religious and get baptized and you'll get to heaven. Why, they're not in their right mind. John 3:16, I can ask some of the little children, ask the little boy this afternoon, what do you think of Jesus? And he said, I think a lot of them. I think a lot of them. Wasn't that wonderful? A little boy, I think a lot of them. Well, he was in his right mind. Are you in your right mind, my friends? Are you in your right mind and that concerning the Son of God? Oh, it's so important. You can be wrong on everything else in the world, but don't be wrong when it comes to the Son of God. Oh, he's the Christ. He's the Christ. The men are trying to take him away tonight. They're trying to steal away our blessed Lord. But how good to stand here and say he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, the risen, glorified Son of God, cast out of this world, received up into heaven. Then it says, in the end of the 15th verse, they were afraid. Now that's true about the world. They're afraid of Christians. They're afraid. Why, when a man gets saved and starts to speak about the Lord Jesus, they get afraid. They're afraid. Why, a man told me, he said, you know, the asylum is full of men and women who read the Bible. The asylum is just filled with men and women who read the Bible and who believe what you believe. And so we challenged him to come with us down to the asylum and asked the doctors down there, how many men and women are in this asylum because of reading the Bible and believing in Christ? And how many men are in this asylum because of liquor and drink and sin? And we'll add up the number and see how it comes. He wouldn't accept the challenge. My friends, the devil will not accept any challenge that stands for Christ and the truth of God. But if we reason with the devil, if we argue with the devil, he'll have us beat every time. But the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Word of God stands as the sword of the Spirit to defeat the attacks of the devil. And so, it says they were afraid. Now, I want you to notice what happens here in the 16th verse. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Oh, how the world never changes. This old world never changes. Oh, yes, the clothes have changed, and the transportation's changed, and the buildings have changed, and the different conveniences have changed, the Frigidaires and different improvements in cars and motorcycles and airplanes. For the heart of man has never changed. Give us the swine. Give us the swine. Give us this crazy man. Give us this man possessed with demons. Give us anything but Christ. They said, get out of our coast. Just imagine. Get out of our coast. Why, I believe, my friends, and I speak reverently. If the Lord Jesus Christ came tonight to the big prisons in this country, and if the Lord Jesus saved every prisoner in that prison, some of the great criminals of this country were saved for glory, and they got up and spoke well of Christ, they say, get out of the country. They wouldn't want them in the country. They'll take anything but Christ. The world has never changed. Oh, young man, young lady, you're growing up in a world that's against God and against Christ. It's getting worse every day. Every day it's getting worse. You know, God tells us it's going to get worse and worse and worse until there won't be a Christian in this world. There won't be one left. Every one of them will be gone to be with the Lord Jesus. And God is going to judge this world. You know, it's a big statement, isn't it? God is going to judge this world. Let us narrow it down. God is going to judge Los Angeles. God is going to judge the United States of America. And God is going to judge Canada. And God is going to judge England. And God is going to judge this world. This world that dared to spit into the face of Christ. That dared to nail the hands of the Son of God to Calvary's cross. That dared to crown that blessed head with a crown of thorns. God is going to judge this world. Judge it, my friends. All its education, all its fame and its progress is going to be dashed down to the ground under the judgment of God. Oh, how solemn. How solemn this is. Notice now in this 17th verse, the 18th verse, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Oh, this is lovely. He wanted to be with Jesus. Now I believe there's seven things said about this man we'll mention later in connection with showing us what Jesus had done for him. But I want to draw your attention that if the demons prayed, this man prayed. And if the Lord Jesus said yes to the demons, he said no to this man. He prayed him that he might be with them. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. I want you to notice now these seven things that happened to this man because he met Jesus. First of all, we said before, he was sitting. He had rest. Second, he was clothed. Third, he was in his right mind. Fourth, in this verse 18, he prayed. Oh, isn't that a sign of the new life? Isn't that a sign, my friends, of new birth? The Apostle Paul, when he was saved for glory, Ananias was told, behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Ah, my friends, did you ever pray? We live in an age where there's not much prayer. The devil has everybody so busy, there's no time to pray. I believe, young Christian, that the devil has taken the straw away today from us. Taken the straw away and saying, produce the same number of bricks. We have no time for prayer. No time to read our Bibles. We're always rushing, rushing, rushing in this mad age. This man prayed. The next thing we find, it said he wanted to be with him. Oh, do you want to be with Jesus? What a wonderful thing it is to see a young man or a young woman, and they confess the Lord Jesus, and they want to be with him. How can you be with him? Well, we know this man was physically with Jesus. How can you be with him? Young Christian, you can be with him at the assembly meetings. You can be with him at the prayer meeting. He's in the midst. You can be with him in the Bible reading. You can be with him on the Lord's Day morning. I've often thought of the Lord's Day morning. You know, if we were to walk in the room and the Lord Jesus looked across the room and smiled, and he was there physically so we could actually see him, and he looked across the room and said, I'm so glad you came this morning. So glad you came to remember me in death. Oh, how your heart would bubble up. How you'd praise God. How you'd rejoice. Like those disciples when they went home in the 20th of John, and they said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Oh, my friends, the next week Thomas was there. Nothing could keep him away. They had seen the Lord. The secret of blessing and joy was to see the Lord. Do you want to be with Jesus? Are you found at the prayer meeting? Young man, young lady, young Christian, sister and brother, are you found at the Bible reading? He wanted to be with him. It was one of the signs that he had met Jesus. He wanted to be with him. Somebody said yesterday, to know him is to love him. You can't know Jesus and not love him. To know him is to love him because he captures the heart. He captures the heart. He fills the heart with joy. He fills the heart with praise. Oh, to know him is to love him. Well, the next thing we see, the sixth thing, it tells us he obeyed. In verse 19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. He obeyed. Oh, obedience, he obeyed. He didn't argue with the Lord. I speak reverently. He didn't say, well, I want to be with you. I found, you know, I want to be with you. When the Lord said, go home, he went home. He obeyed. Oh, my friends, how wonderful this is. He obeyed the blessed Lord's word. And seventh, he confessed that Jesus was Lord. Notice that. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Why, he owned that Jesus was the Lord. Tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And when he went home to his friends, he said, this man Jesus, this is the man who's called Jesus. He's done great things for me. He had compassion on me. I was a poor man, a legion under the power of the devil. I was cutting myself with stones. I was smashing the chains. But I met Jesus, and all the joy in my heart as I met Jesus, I sat at his feet, at his blessed feet, and heard his lovely words, looked up into his lovely face. I was in the presence of Jesus. He's won my heart, and he's the Lord. God said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved on the authority of the living God's word. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. As our brother said this afternoon, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. All men did marvel. Well, they might marvel, my friends. Going back to New Brunswick just for a moment, I remember one day going to one of the homes in New Brunswick in the little town of McAdam, and this man had a business, upholstering business, and he brought us into his factory, so-called, and he had his Chesterfields and chairs and things there. He was a sort of a prosper-looking man from McAdam, but he got talking about the gospel tent, and he said, you know, there's a man here in McAdam. His name is David McKay. He said, he used to work with me. He worked for me, but he said, I never could depend upon David McKay because he would disappear for 10 days. He would be drunk for 10 days, 2 weeks. I would never see my man coming to work. But he got religion. And he said, my, what a change has come over this man. And our beloved brother Pierpata was with me, and his face lit up. It was only his can light up. And he said, mister, you're wrong. You're wrong, mister. He didn't get religion. Oh, the man said, he did, sir. He did. He's reading the Bible and he's singing and he's always talking about religion. Mr. Pierpata said again, he said, no, mister. He didn't get religion. He got Christ. He got Christ, mister, and you need him too. You need him too. Oh, beloved brethren and dear friends tonight, how real this is to get Christ. The world is full of religion. Full of religion. I often said it's like the A&P store. You can go down with your wagon and get anything off the shelf you want. All kinds of religion. Anything you want. Christ rejecting religion. Disobeying the word of God, denying the very truth of Scripture. You can have any kind of religion you want. It'll send you to hell, my friends. But God doesn't give us religion. He gives us a person. The person of Christ. The man who said on the cross, it is finished. And he bowed his head. Oh, I love those words in John 19. He bowed his head. Oh, beloved, we should have bowed our heads for eternity. In shame and disgrace, we should have bowed our heads. For all eternal ages, we should have bowed our heads. But Jesus bowed his head. Oh, blessed Savior, the only man who ever lived who had a reputation. The only good man who ever lived. God says there's none good. No, not one. Not even one good man in the world. There was one good man here, and they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. They put him out of the world, but God received him in heaven. And oh, beloved, as that blessed man ascended back into the glory, I believe that every angel in heaven bowed before his blessed person. There's the man Christ Jesus, with the nail prints in his hands and feet and the spear mark on his side, marched to the throne of God and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens, the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. He's coming back to judge this world. He offers you a pardon tonight. He offers you salvation tonight. He offers you blessing tonight. Oh, my friends, is it any wonder the little hymn says, angel hosts are musing o'er this sight so strangely sad, God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. Oh, think of God beseeching man, come to me, he says, come to me, I'll save you, I'll bless you, I'll give you heaven if you'll only come to me. Man saying, no, I don't want you, I don't want you, I'd rather go to hell, I'd rather be damned in the pit, I'd rather be in darkness for eternity, weeping and wailing and gnashing my teeth, than to come to Christ. God is beseeching, God loves you. We sometimes said God has blocked the road to hell with the cross of Christ. Oh, my friend, are you going to pass the cross? This might be your last chance, your last opportunity for salvation. But oh, listen to this verse. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Just imagine, all your sins washed away. A free and a full pardon. Saved for glory. Saved for glory. I stood outside the little hall in Thomaston, New Brunswick, and I was talking to a young lady who was a Roman Catholic. She had been attending the meetings, and I believed that God was speaking to her. And as we stood there talking to her, we told her that we said these words, oh, if you'll only receive Christ tonight, if only you receive Christ tonight, you'll be as ready for heaven as the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all the other men of God in this world. And I saw the light break through. Her face lit up, and that girl... I want to say this reverently, my friends, because there may be some young people in this room tonight who have got fathers and mothers who are Christians and who are not saved at all. This Roman Catholic girl, I believe, received the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Her husband was brought up among the gathered saints, and he's a Christ rejecter. He's a Christ rejecter. Oh, my friends, I tell you solemnly tonight that many of our young people are in the same boat as that man down in New Brunswick. Christ rejecters. Religious, yes. They come to Sunday school. They come to the gospel meeting every Sunday night. But they're lost. They're lost. They've never, never, never opened their hearts to Christ. Never. Maybe there's somebody in this room just like that. You've never opened your heart to Christ. You're religious, but you're lost. You know the way to heaven, but you didn't take it. You've never, 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 never had personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're a dead corpse tonight. You're lost. Oh, won't you look to Jesus? He loves you. He died for you. He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Not just to bring us into salvation, but to bring us to God, to bring us into the very presence of God, into the very family of God as His children, and to give us that joy and that peace and that happiness that only Christ can give. Oh, my friends, I pray. Before we sing our last hymn and pray together, I just ask you tonight, are you saved or lost? Are you heaven-bound or hell-bound? If we were to read in the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we'd find the climax of the story. For this man's testimony was so great that when Jesus came back, the people were all waiting for him. Isn't it wonderful? When he came back to this country, they were all waiting for him as a result of this man's testimony. What about our testimony? What about my testimony? What about your testimony? Are you speaking well of Jesus? Have you ever confessed a little boy? Maybe there's a boy here tonight or a girl. And you say, well, I believe in Jesus. Did you ever speak well of him? Did you ever tell your mother, why, the Lord Jesus is my Savior. I know Him as my personal Savior. I've received Him I have received God's salvation. I have received Christ. I have received God's gift, and I'm saved for eternal ages. Praise God. Oh, my friends, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have brought before us in this 5th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the risen, glorified, soon coming Son of God. I pray that all the glory and all the praise may be His, for He alone is worthy. Let us sing the last verse of number 21. Decide for Christ today. Confess Him as thy Lord. Proclaim to all the Savior's worth. How faithful is his word. The last verse only, and the chorus, the number 21.